cup of faith. Some of it already. The house of Chloe wasn't an effective witness. As a matter of fact, they were a bad witness. To be effective witness of the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got to be able to demonstrate the power of the Holy Ghost. Show the power of the Holy Ghost. When the conflict comes like that, there's no Jesus in that.
That's right.
And you thank the Lord Jesus for the conflict, because it lets you know how things really are sometimes.
Right.
Sometimes you may be thinking you're going right along, merrily down the way, and then all of a sudden, someone comes and knocks on your door and starts howling at you like you're some crazy child. It lets you know that there's conflict.
Right.
And that you have a spirit somewhere in there that's not like Jesus.
Right.
No matter how many times you say it's Jesus, but it's not Jesus.
Right.
So, in the book of Acts, it says, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, all Judea, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth."
Right.
So to be an effective witness, you have to have, number one, the Holy Ghost.
Right.
You have to have the power. You have to have the authority. I hear sometimes people who testify, and they testify about job and a car and so forth and so on, but those are things that Jesus did since for you. He does that for all mankind or something. But what about the Holy Ghost?
Right.
What about what Jesus did for you on the altar? And when you stop testifying to that, you testify to everything else but that, something's wrong.
That's right.
You're no longer an effective witness. Your witness is song back in the days when I was coming up, it says, "You lost that loving feeling." That's old. The Righteous Brothers or somebody saying that. You lost that loving feeling. Isn't that a horrible
feeling?
Jesus look at you and said, "You've lost that loving feeling." And that means that you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ anymore. So you cannot be an effective witness. Lord Jesus Christ. So it says that we have to examine ourselves. That's a wise thing to do. Most people don't want to be wise. They want to be just like they are. You know, you say, "I got it," and that's it. But no. A wise person examines themselves and to see if they're still yet in the faith. And that's what it is. It's a lack of faith when we go about causing trouble, because you just don't see the end and you don't understand what the end is. So because you don't see it and you don't understand it, you're going to make sure everybody else don't see it and they don't understand it. So misery loves company. Birds of feather flock together. We know you by the people you associate with. So you have to be careful about our own selves. The Lord Jesus Christ says to be holy, for I'm holy. Without holiness, you can't please the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't even see the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll just miss the whole thing. You don't want to sit up in misery among the congregation without any hope. The hope is that everybody goes back with Jesus, but I already know that that's not going to happen. And that's my upbringing. Bishop Johnson just say that. Everybody's not going back. And that would strike dread in my whole thought. Just say, "Well, I want to go back.
Yes, Lord.
I want to be one to go back.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
I don't want to even think about not going back."
Right.
But everybody's not going back.
Jesus.
People have their own pride, their own agendas. what they are other than holiness. I have no idea what
right,
it is.
Right.
I haven't figured that out yet. You got the slick willies. You know, I'm just the people who want to be slick.
Mm-hmm.
And they were slick in the old time, and they'd be slick when they came into church, and they're going to be slick when they go out of here.
Mm-hmm.
You want to try to deceive people.
Yep.
Well, I don't see that person making it unless they repent.
Right.
Lord Jesus Christ said he gave Jezebel
space and time.
Space and time.
Yeah.
And see, Jezebel just represents that spirit.
Right.
That spirit is still in the church.
Yes, it is.
Spirit is still in the church.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be a female.
Right.
It doesn't have to be a male.
Mm-hmm.
It's a spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord Jesus Christ gives us all space and time to repent. But you have to acknowledge that you need to repent.
Right.
Lost people don't want to repent. You're happy with what you are. And you know, they say, comfortable in my own skin. No, you got to get out of your skin and get into Jesus' skin.
Right.
You got to put the Lord Jesus Christ on.
Right.
You're not going to be able to make this on yourself. So you need the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
You can't be a witness to, you should be a witness to the Lord Jesus Christ, but you can't be a witness to Jesus unless you have the Holy Ghost. Can't overemphasize that. You can't say too much about it.
Right.
You need Jesus living down on the inside of you in order to be able to make it. So when Peter was testifying to these things that happened in the Old and the New Testament, when the folk received the Holy Ghost, he said it was a promise.
Right.
You have to know the promises of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what this whole theme of living holy to receive Jesus' promises is all about. If you don't know promises, you don't know what the promise is, you'll never be able to make it.
Right.
Jesus promised us the Holy Ghost.
Right.
And all we have to do is follow through. How did he promise to receive the Holy Ghost? You get on the altar and call the name of
Jesus. Yes, Jesus.
Until he fills you.
Yes, Jesus.
Your faith is that he's going to do what you're asking him to do. You want the Holy Ghost. People want to be saved. You have to want it so much that it's more than what your hunger and thirst is
right.
for your natural body.
Right.
You want Jesus just like that.
Right.
And in order to do that, you have to get there and call his name.
That's right.
Says to witness is to see, hear, and know by personal presence and perception. This is a definition from one of the dictionaries somewhere. And then another definition says to be present at the occurrence. Now, we weren't present at the Lord Jesus Christ on the day of Pentecost.
Right.
But he gives us that presence when we call his name.
Right.
When he fills you with the Holy Ghost, that's your presence right,
right
there.
Right.
You have the witness right,
right.
there inside of it.
That's right.
And it says another definition is to bear witness to. Well, you have to have the Holy Ghost to bear witness to who Jesus is.
Right.
You can't bear witness to something that you don't have.
Right.
People used to say back in the day that the fellow that came out of Philadelphia, what's his name? Wilt Chamberlain.
Mm-hmm.
Wilt Chamberlain had a coach in high school, and his testimony was that he had never played basketball before. But he taught Wilt how to play. And he coached Wilt. I find that very strange.
Right.
How can you testify to something that you don't have?
Never done.
Never done.
Yep.
Never experienced.
Yep.
How can you expect another man to be able to do something like that? But that was his testimony back in the day. Another definition is to attest by one's signature. Excuse me. It says he witnessed the will.
Mm-hmm.
Then it says, as a verb without an object, is to bear witness, testify, give or afford evidence. What's your evidence? Receiving the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Speaking in tongues as Jesus gives you utterance.
Right.
And then, of course, it has to be to the point where you're able to stand up and say, Jesus, still, I still have the Holy Ghost.
Right.
In time. Then a person who gives testimony in a court of law is another form of witness. A person who signs a document attesting to the genuineness of its execution. When we do the baptismal document, I usually sign it, saying that this person went down and was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sin. I'm witnessing that because I personally saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's another form of witnessing. Witnessing is giving testimony and evidence. So when we get up and give a testimony, we're testifying to who Jesus is.
Right.
How you receive the Holy Ghost.
Right.
When you receive the Holy Ghost. How the Lord has refreshed you.
Right.
And give you many refillings. And then you can talk about all the other things that the Lord Jesus Christ bless you with. But the main thing that you're testifying to is that you have the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Says that. So in order to be an effective witness, effective comes to the point where, I think that next verse there, we'll do a little bit of that, today. We won't stay with too long. Luke 14 and 28. Somebody get that over there.
There went great multitudes with him, and he returned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother, and wife and children, and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. But which of you intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he have laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begins to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish.
Right.
Isn't that a horrible thought?
Yeah.
Yep.
To lay the foundation and he can't finish it.
Right.
I looked at that verse, and I kind of started laughing. I said, well, you know, a lot of times when folks start out with something, become a mockery when you can't finish.
Right.
Yeah. And you don't want to be like that. And the thought is that you consider what you're getting into. The Lord Jesus Christ said, it's better for you to have never
known
me.
Yep.
Never to have known
me. Right.
To go back on him like that.
Right.
And people go back on the Lord Jesus Christ in many kinds of ways.
Right.
By doing, especially doing what they want to do.
Right.
Now, I had made a note about the consequences of disobedience. People don't really understand what the value is of trying to do what you're told to do.
Mm-hmm.
Says disobedience is that's witchcraft.
Right.
And that's coming from the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
So you've erected another idol in your life, or you've erected an idol in your life, and it's called disobedience.
Right.
Maybe however you want to look at it, have a name, whatever you want to call it, another name. But it says witchcraft. You're worshiping that thing of it, that part of it. So it behooves us to be obedient.
Right.
And look at, and it goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden when Adam disobeyed a known instruction.
Right.
Adam didn't have enough sense to understand that he wasn't God.
Right.
And that was a fight. And because he disobey, all of us are born in disobedience.
Right.
But the spirit of disobedience.
That's right.
We call that the original sin. Mm-hmm. It had nothing to do with these movies they have out here talking about the original sin. Mm-hmm. The original sin is disobedience.
Right.
When you disobey a known instruction of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Adam did that.
Yes.
And because of his disobedience, it was passed on to all of us.
That's right.
And that's the part that we have to overcome.
Yep.
And it all starts with that. Starts the lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. But the main thing is disobedience.
Yep.
And it's hard to push that over to folk when you say, well, I'm not disobedient. Well, most people don't understand what disobedience really is.
Mm-hmm.
It's a disregard to known instruction.
Mm-hmm.
And the word says it is as witchcraft.
Right.
You want to be a witch, you want to be a warlock,
right.
Then practice disobedience. The Lord Jesus Christ came so that we could have a right to the tree of life.
That's right.
And the only way that you can have a right to the tree of life is to be obedient.
Right.
Obedient to what the Lord Jesus Christ tells us to do.
That's right.
The thought is here in Luke is that you don't want to start something that you're not going to finish.
Right.
You don't. There's no witness in it, number one. And number two, you're going to be a laughing stock.
Right.
You're going to say, well, I thought you was holy. And mm-hmm. people tell you that right off.
Yep.
Well, weren't you doing this?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't you do that one time?
Mm-hmm.
And they don't only do it in that, but they do it in all things. Church is more important than you dieting.
Mm-hmm.
They say, well, I was dieting, and people looked at me all of a sudden and said, well, I thought you was dieting, and you gaining weight. Well, you made yourself a laughing stock,
because
you put yourself out there that you were actually doing that,
but
now you're not doing it any longer.
Right.
So we have to be careful about what we're witnessing to and our witness to other people. And I just use the thing of dieting. There's a lot of other things. You know, I could start out being a long-distance runner. And somebody said, well, I thought you was a long-distance runner. You ran 5 miles a day. Well, when you stop, you make yourself a laughing stock.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't have a valid reason to do it. If you had a valid reason to say, I broke my leg, that makes sense. But when you say, well, I just decided to stop. I didn't want to do it no more. Well, consider the matter before you start out in the beginning.
Right.
Before you lay that foundation of doing that. Holiness is a way of life and living.
Jesus.
Consider the foundation that you lay.
Yep.
And you don't want to make yourself a laughing stock. I'm going to say yourself, because it's not Jesus that's embarrassed. Although Satan thinks he can shame Jesus. But you can't shame Jesus because he's God.
Right.
It's his world, his kingdom.
Yep.
Satan has to answer to him.
That's right.
He has to answer to him. So you can't shame Jesus like that in that sense. You make yourself a laughing stock.
Mm-hmm.
When people look at you and say, oh, I thought you were holy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I thought you were saved and sanctified. And that's the first thing they say to you right off the bat. When they see you doing something wrong. People watch you all the time.
Yep.
Whatever you do wrong,
they
come right back and say, oh, I thought you were saved.
Right.
They see you mess up more than they do you doing good. So the first thing that you do to step out of line, they're going to say, I thought you were saved.
Right.
First line that they give you, then I thought you belonged to that church or whatever. But they identify holiness as a way of life and living. And when you mess it up, you make yourself laughing stuff.
Right.
We'll go a little bit more into this tomorrow. And we want to talk tomorrow. We'll talk tomorrow about the thing about sin, how sin keeps you. People who sin, and don't think of sin as being something so repulsive. But people enjoy sin.
Yep.
And it has its attraction. So you have to give up something. And you say, I have to give up this in order to make it into the kingdom.
Right.
You're saying a whole lot.
Right.
Are you willing to give it up?
That's right.
The young rich man who didn't want to give up his worldly goods. People think they have it all. It belonged to this club and belonged to that, and all of a sudden Jesus come along and tell you, said, give it all up and give it to the poor. And of course you don't want to do it.
Yep.
And because you don't want to do it, you can't make it in life.
Right.
You cannot make it into the kingdom.
That's right.
If your desire to be with the sinners is so great that you don't want to give up that much of it.
Right.
Then you're in trouble.
Right.
Well, I hope you got a little bit out of it.
Amen.
We'll finish it off tomorrow.